I'm Cynthia Fernandez, the co-owner of Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden in downtown Carmel, California, and also radio show host for Simple Life Radio. And I'm joined in studio today by Nancy Mellon, who works with storytelling as a healing art. We're going to be talking about finding the story mothers within you. And Nancy, I know that you have been working with storytelling as a healing art for many, many years and all over the world. And I'm wondering where you help people to find the story mother from within. How does a person access that? And especially when they're oftentimes tired and feeling overwhelmed.
Well, that may be all of us these days. And wherever we are in the world, actually, things are heading up all over the place for mothers and fathers and grandparents. And yet within us, there is this wondrous clearing where the story mother is always humming and always ready to bring the ingenuity and the wisdom that lives within our deep intuitive selves, within our imagination, to bring that into listening, into a much greater listening than we generally do when we're at the gas station and wiping bottoms and rushing about to the grocery store. A much larger integrity of listening takes us into the greater circles of life that surround us, and so the story mother is an archetype, so to speak, which lives within every human being, the men as well, the fathers as well. Story mother is always sitting there in her clearing where the sun, the moon, the stars are shining, and where a kind of speaking can emerge from within us, which is different from our ordinary rational discourse, and which can help us in such practical ways to open up situations with children. You know, I've discovered this story mother as a very wise and friendly presence living within myself and also thousands of others that I've met through the years. She is at one with the story mothers around the globe and through the ages who are listening to life as it is exactly. She's listening with love, with intuition, and with imagination, with these higher faculties, these subtle faculties that we have within us, listening with those alive and well. She's a kind of muse who loves and handles life with humble confidence and with sometimes the most astonishing ingenuity that can bring us into a state, even if we're immensely exhausted, into a state of joy and confidence in life again. She collaborates with the universe to help herself and all mothers and children today to grow into wisdom. It's with such relief and gratitude that I've discovered her over and over again, and that others in all these workshops that I've given over such a long time now, that they too have found her and have been able to reach out for helpful dream pictures and words to meet difficult relationships more joyfully and playfully, and to clean up messy situations, to restore equilibrium, to bring peace to a whole harried day with even magniloquence, I love that word, a way of speaking which is different from our ordinary, practical, down-to-earth speaking, to lift away from that little bit into the imaginative, intuitive parts of our being, so that we can actually put into words, we can find words to express healing, dreaming, streaming from our wise old self. And the new wisdom that is being born now within us human beings to deal with situations as they are today. So I would like, in this little podcast that we're doing right now, I'd like to offer a way to find this story, Mother. No matter what your mood is or how overwhelming your challenges are now and have been, to be able to find this story, Mother, within you. So try, first of all, just placing both your hands warmly together upon your heart. And slowly take two or three good deep breaths. And as you're breathing, there is a listening space that is opening in and around your heart. Let your whole self, your whole body, relax around this listening space, like a healthy child does. Breathe with your whole body. When we adults can relax and breathe with our whole selves, children find us much more appealing to be with. Relax your throat. Relax your shoulders. And allow some clear light and warmth to pour through your hands all the way down to your feet. And bring your attention now to your feet. And as you breathe, enjoy this connection, this warming connection with the earth and its magnificence of plant life, of rocks, of stones, of wondrous gemstones, with its countless landscapes. The earth is so generously offering us its own deep breathing as it holds us within its embracing and its mysterious gravitational fields. So keep feeling this connection. You might want to take your shoes off. Perhaps even go in search of some, or imagine some magical storytelling shoes you might put on, which would remind you that your connection with the earth is very expanded and includes actually this sensing of the wisdom within the earth. We're opening up the directions, the wheel of life in which we all live, and we're grounding that through our feet. And now also breathe freely and fully in and out, not only through your feet in the great exchange with the earth, but also with your back. Feel your wing bones just beneath your shoulders. Feel them expanding and contracting. A great winged horse hides within your breath and mine. They can travel with sublime wing beats, even to the stars. Continue that wing beat breathing through your back to remind you of all the winged ones, all the breathing of the trees, of the plants, of the creatures, of the weathers. And now bring your attention to your hands also. and feel your breathing flow in and out very gently and slowly through your palms. You can notice the warmth that you are giving through your palms to the air around you. You both receive and give through your palms. And your story mother's sense of touch is very alive, very intuitive. She is careful and generous with the imaginations that she receives into her palms. Perhaps a little fish, or a baby elephant, or a wild storm. Right there in her palm, she can feel it. An iron key, perhaps, in the other palm. She sifts and chooses the images and combines them. She feels their combinations when a story is needed. And as your hands breathe with the openness to receive and then to experience imaginations, the touch of imagination, intuition, and then to give that on. Also bring your attention to the very top of your head and feel for a moment the secret crown that all mothers and grandmothers wear. Sense the stars far above that are sending you and your children life and purpose that she, your story mother, can experience more fully than any of us with our ordinary rational mind. Breathe in and out the influence of all the worlds above, the birds, the angels, the clouds, the weather systems, the rainbows, the alternations of them, darkness and the light, all the star patterns wheeling above, the great gift of the sun. Receive all that in through your crown and then give back to those worlds above your gratitude in this great exchange that's always happening between us human beings and this benevolent mystery in the upper worlds. So as you experience this wheel of life with its spokes reaching in many directions, the below you, the behind you, what is before you, and above you. As you sense and breathe in this magnitude with your whole body and soul, realize the beautiful, deep listening space that opens within the heart for the story mother's wisdom to speak through you. Out of this listening, the story mother's words will form that may be quite different from your usual speaking. Their musicality, their wisdom may surprise you. You may find yourself humming and rhyming and enjoying long, quiet pauses between your words. And all this is heaven to a child. The all-rounded of story mother's presence is nourishing, like mother's milk is nourishing. So as we listen, we can also sense that there are many, many forms and structures for us to lean on when it's time to tell a story, just as there are forms and structures in every living thing. But when our imagination and our intuition are alive, then they're filled with structures. They reveal themselves to us. I hope that you will notice these basic structures in the stories that you read to your children. A protagonist can be so amazing if we open to the child and the needs of the child in the moment. We may see an image of a creature that's even quite familiar or unfamiliar to us. Or we may see a forest land or a plant or a particular flower, it's bending or that's burgeoning. We may hear a loud and raucous bird, whatever it is that comes to us through our imagination becomes a guidance for making the main character in a little story for a young child or even for an older child. And that protagonist then can take us into a landscape. And yesterday I was speaking with a woman who felt she couldn't tell a story, but as soon as she remembered how much her daughter loved horses, then she was able to go over the bridge in her brain that leaves the exclusively rational activities of our thinking mind to go into a much more wonderful and alive realm, where the horse was completely embedded in the grasses and the trees and the weather and the flies and the birds and the insects. And suddenly she was hearing trickling water stream on the far side of the field. And then it turned out that the horse was carrying a little horse within her. And she was thirsty, and she went to slake her thirst at this burbling musical stream that she described so wonderfully. She was so surprised to hear how sensitively she described the deliciousness of the water and the way the horse drank the water. She'd never spoken that way before, and she was kind of puzzled at herself that she could do that. But on that side of the mind, which is story mother's realm, all of this, the sense world of the mother horse began living within her. She was sharing the life body with the horse and with the landscape and with the stream. And then she was seeing two children farther down the stream. And eventually, as she was telling the story, those children came and developed a wonderful connection with the horse. And eventually they decided to braid the mane of the mother horse. And they did, and they placed wildflowers in the mane along the braids. And then it was time for them to go home for their supper and for them to tell their father and mother about what they had done. And then the horse went back and had oats for supper. And that was the story. And after she told this story, she said, "Oh." And she started criticizing herself, of course, and thinking what she hadn't done right, and that, you know, she'd needed a little prodding here and there. And I said, "No." He said, "This was the awakening of the life body of the story within you that your child wants to hear and that you loved hearing yourself sing." We listen to our own selves with love and wonder when we're making a story to really meet the needs of the child, which also can often turn out to be meeting our own needs as well, which is a very good deal. So watching for the protagonist through the eyes of our imagination and through our intuition is the first steps in finding that, seeing that moving or sitting or hiding in a certain landscape. And then I think, well, what is the direction of this story? And I always say, with children, because they've got to grow, and growing is such an amazingly complex and essentially positive experience, to always be sure you know that you're going to have a wonderful ending for your story, no matter how difficult it may be and how many terrible adventures your character needs to have, that the story will come round to a positive charge at the end, a life charge at the end. Greater love, greater justice, greater joy, comfort of home, a good meal, of curling up in a safe space, of creating a safe space, or finding one, of being with others who are loved and trusted, of celebrating life at the end, which may be just simply shouting hooray to the stars, whatever. So first the protagonist, then the landscape, then a sense of a positive ending, and then what happens in between? In between come the adventures, the obstacles. And the obstacle realm can become very interesting in stories. As far as children are concerned, we can find with our intuition and our imagination pictures which really correspond and mirror what the child's difficulties may be, small ones, big ones, maybe major ones. If we remember that many of the world's greatest storytellers have been blind or have not really focused on the outer world, but instead have developed their imagination, their inner picture language, we remember that and we close our eyes, we can generally, almost everyone that I've ever worked with, in fact, I would say only once or twice when people have been very severely ill, has this ability to create images been unavailable. And even people are absolutely convinced that they cannot find a mirror for whatever the distress is that is the challenge of the day. The metaphorical language is a special part of the mind. During our sleeping time, the children's sleeping time, the picture language that is authentic to their life challenges will turn up, and it will be moving. And the story time is an opportunity to let some of that healing dreaming language really wake up and be spoken. So we can trust that process. And I've written a lot about that in my books. I hope you will go and find my books and read about different kinds of people who have been able to access their healing imagination in the midst of often very difficult things. Stories often typically so-called magical helpers, as Joseph Campbell called them when he was telling the world about story structure, and a wonderful teacher of story structure. And the helpers are the ones who arrive when there are insuperable obstacles in the story, when you don't know where to go with the story, when you seem blocked as a storyteller, and you've been going along fairly well with your story, enjoying it, listening to yourself telling a story, and then help is needed. And in the old stories, because helpers have many different forms, animals can speak, birds and bees and ants, and they can bring guidance. Stones and gems with benevolent powers can appear magically from the earth to work their magic. A tree or a kindly flower can offer the wisdom exactly that is needed for your protagonist to proceed on the journey toward the positive ending. The sun, the moon, the stars, the winds, the rains, everything in the natural world can speak or sing their guidance into your story. The story mother part of us knows that perfectly well. Our rational brain doesn't like that so well. So it kind of can find objections of all sorts to say that isn't so. However, when we read the old stories, the beloved old stories, then we know that these helpers are more than what they seem to be. They're not idle imaginations. When there's time for transformation to happen, when there's time for help, it's needed. And in the great circle of life, when we are open as a story mother, then that help can come right into the story. And so then the resolution of the story can be triumphant. It can be consolation. It can be full of love and wonder and celebration. I wish you joy with all your storytelling and confidence, the humble confidence of the storyteller, the story mother within you, who searches through her listening heart for the very right best story to tell in a moment.
And so if you'd like more information on Nancy's work or her books or her teaching schedule, please find her website, healingstory.com. And there you'll have also access to other podcasts that we've put together for your enjoyment and education. Thanks so much, Nancy, for taking the time today. It's good being with you.
It's always a joy to be with you, Cynthia.